The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Guys, and welcome to another episode of the Brocast podcast. My name is Thomas, and joining me as always, he's my bro and he's your bro too. Give it up for Alan.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Brocast. It is he, it is I, it is me, Alan of the Brocast. Tom, how are you?
Bro, I'm going good, and we just realized it looks like I'm about to eliminate someone or vote for someone to be eliminated in an episode of Survivor in my little setup that I've got here tonight.
I was about to say, you look like you're in Bali or somewhere, and you're living in a little bamboo hut, you know. And, and I'm just waiting for the right someone's day name. It's like Kyle.
Kyle 2.
Kyle. Yeah. Tom. Tom. Alan.
Funny thing, I'm actually going to look at this because I reckon they're like, what season of Survivor do you reckon they're up to? Because I've always reckon it's like 100 and something.
I know that, well, I regularly have been watching the Australian Survivor recently. I don't really, because I'm at the gym. So as probably, I haven't told anyone really about this. I only just told you the other day that I've been doing this. But I have recently been gymming. I've become a gym junkie. I'm going every day, except on the weekends. Sometimes I skip. It's all depending on how the weather. The last time I actually skipped a day was on a Saturday because it was stinking hot down here. Then I said to myself, I'm going to stop. I need to get back to it. But I do watch Survivor on some of the screens that are on at the gym when I'm on the treadmill, and I have no idea what's going on. But Australian Survivor, I think, has been going on for a very long time. But yeah, I was going to say there's so many different variations of Survivor from, I believe there's the American ones, the European ones. Just you name a country, there's probably a Survivor version of that in the
outback. Well, I've got it in front of me here, and they're up to season 46.
And what's this, the Australian, or is this just...
This is all up. This is generally all up. All
okay.
Up. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. So it's saying for the American one, it's the 14th consecutive season to be filmed in Fiji. And it just premiered, a couple of weeks ago. That's crazy. 46 seasons. But the producers will be like, we need something different each time, so it's not the same. Like, we can do heroes and villains. Let's bring back the ones that stirred the pot. And they'll take on the good guys that didn't win the show. But, like, I would love to see a production meeting of, like, what else? Anyone got anything else, or anyone?
Well, it works. 50
seasons nearly, so.
It brings people back, though, you know. You watch some people that go on there who are just absolute Iron Man women, people who are just jacked to the gills, and then they come over to there and they work as a team. But then you've also got the shit stirrers, the ones who stir the pot, who like to get controversial. to, you know, to try to divide teams, try to divide relationships between people for their own muster. They know that it's like, I will legit step on somebody's throat to win this shit. I will win this game by stepping on you and then doing this. I remember when it first hit Australia, I was just like, wow, this is a very interesting series. I had a few people in I legit remember this because this was in high school. When the first season of Australian Survivor hit, and I had a few people I was in school with that absolutely loved the show. They thought it was fantastic. I remember watching going, man, this is a great show. Me personally, could I do it? No. The Ellen of old, the Ellen of now? No. You know, just sitting by, and the only thing you could eat each day was rice, and you know, it was, and if you turn your team was to win, you get fish and rice and something else. You just how the show was. It was just really good. I have been left by myself.
Yes, we're having technical difficulties tonight, guys, and we're back, especially, well, it's mainly me. My tech issues are causing the issues tonight, and this seems to be a repeat because it happened to us last month where we did a recording, and yeah, we left Alan. Poor Alan was on the solo screen for about a minute without me there, great information, but there was no rebuttal and no reply. And I'm struggling on the other end of my side trying to message him. And yes. My Wi-Fi is terrible, guys. And yes, not good.
It's okay. You clean up that shit really quickly. You do when you post-produce and go back and do all that, where I basically just do, I just rock up, like I said to many times on this show, I rock up to this show, make a few silly dick jokes, make fun of you, and then be on my merry way. And then as soon as the show is uploaded and ready to go to be shared, I just go click, and then, you know, next minute I retweet and that's it. If I go back and listen to it, I will. And you actually did in that last show, not the most recent show that you put up the other day. I'm talking about the broadcast of 2024. You do well. So, you know, don't give yourself, you know, don't give yourself too much shit. Okay. We're doing well.
My wife says to me, you know, Tom thinks he's good. Just ask him. He'll tell you. So he has his ego is enough for two people. So, yeah.
You've got, yeah, there's an elephant and there's you. Who's got the bigger ego? Oh. Tom, not the elephant.
Who's got the bigger trunk? Yeah.
I don't need to know. You're my brother, for fuck's sake. Shut the fuck up.
It's nothing to be special about. No, this is what it is. Today.
Just a penis size, you know. At the end of the day, you know, you're just going to be happy what God gave you, and quite pleased with what God gave me.
Or lack thereof. So yeah,
lack of, you know. Yeah. It's not my fault. Generational. It's who I am. Oh crap.
Yeah, let's just change the subject, eh?
I'd love to. I've been trying to move on for a while now. You're like, I just want to talk about my tree trunk, my elephant trunk. Hello. Penis.
Well, I was going to say, talking about massive, we've got a massive catalogue of episodes that you guys can go back and check out, because we are at season 8 of this podcast, guys, and our seasons go for 12 months. We're not a 6-episode season or a 12-episode season. We're a year season. And we usually produce at least nearly 30 episodes a year. And that's a combination of recorded shows and TBK vaults, and also maybe a drive along here and there. And for season 8, it's been a really busy start. And I think sometimes I forget how many episodes we've actually done. And even some of the matches that we've covered have been fantastic. And I think you sent me a message the other day saying you had a bit of a laugh with our last episode that we put up, the TBK Vault, of what Shane and Vince and just some of the stuff. I'm like, that's why I make the TBK moments, because there's so many moments to make.
I was in the car on the way to the gym and I nearly had an accident. I had to legit pull over because I legit forgot that conversation that you and I had. And the verbiage I was using, the language, I don't know where we were pulling that stuff from. It was when we used to record, not like this. It was very much like we'd sit in a room together and we would shoot the shit together. Where, and it's not like this now, but I go back and those shows are just like, and I said to you off mic as well too, we have matured from from the beginning of our humble beginnings of the broadcast, where I think some of the language that I use in those shows is not as much. I mean, yes, I'll drop the occasional F word, fuck, shit, maybe the occasional C. I even remember, even in the last show we did, I think I dropped the C word twice towards you. I don't even like doing that sometimes, but I just did it because I was like, you're pissing me off. But just those little segments, and it was just over the use of the word of bin. The word bin. And down here in Australia, a bin is a trash can, or something you put. I was about to pick my bin up, but something you put your rubbish in. And during the match between Shane and Vince, Vince was using a bin or a trash can and just wailing onto Shane McMahon. And Tom's just like, he's got to use the bin. He's hitting you, son, with a bin. And I'm like, it's a trash can. And he goes, oh, don't, Al, don't start. And then some reason we started talking about cocky face, being a confident heel or being a confident good guy, just using the right terminology for wrestling. And then I think it was fucking moron using that word of referring to you. And I legit had to pull the car over and I had tears coming down my face going, I forgot how stupid this shit used to be.
Yeah.
At our humble beginnings. How dumb our little show can be sometimes. And just be in hysterics. And I was in hysterics. I'm like, I'm listening to myself from a few years ago. We're like 2018, I think it was. And it was just like, you're a grown ass man. You have hair on your nuts. You have hair on your knuckles and your chest. And you're like, you're talking about a bin now. Tom, you're talking about it wrong. It's called a trash can. You fucking idiot.
But it's good times, bro. And here's the funny fact. I just realized this, right? I think we might be losing internet. A little disclaimer just pop up. We'll just see how we go. I'll see if I can get this story out without losing internet. One of the things I realized too, with how long we've been doing this show, we've spent more time recording online than we have in person.
Yes.
Because we started the show in October of 2016 and we went online at the start of 2020. So we've done more shows online than we have actually in person. But those in-person shows are some of my absolute favorites because we used to use two SingStar microphones. And we used to use duct tape. We'd duct tape them because we didn't have a mic stand or clips and stuff like that.
It was so bad.
But it was easier to edit back then. Like we weren't videoing back then, but we produced some like instant classics. And I thank everyone that goes out there and downloads our shows. And like I get messages from Podbean every couple of days saying, you've reached your target this month or you've gone surpassed this target. And funny thing is too, I get notified quite a lot that our catalog gets listened to, like not just the most recent episode. People are going back and checking out the older ones. They're checking out the first episodes. So there's constantly people checking it out. And I thank everyone for doing that because, we don't get paid to do this. It's something we do for fun. It's something that I enjoy doing. I've been, producing it for quite a long time and it's helped me make... as I was trying to say, the internet, guys, it's just, it's the night that I can't just even praise myself and praise the show. But as I was saying before the internet cut me out, thank you, everyone, for checking out our show. The best way you can do so is if you have any type of podcasting platform, including CastBox, Castro, Podbean, Apple iTunes, you can check us out there. You can also check us out on our socials on X or Twitter at The Brocast. That's THEBROKAST. But if you want to see us live in the audio or video format, you can also check us out on YouTube, which is actually The Brocast Podcasting Gaming, which is some of our gaming content as well. And thank you, everyone, who've been checking out a few of my premieres and also some of the live content that's going up. The views are slowly going up, and again, thanks for people for checking out my gameplay. And again, it's some most of the time it's a first-time playthrough, so a lot of the time I don't know what I'm doing, and sometimes I'm learning the controls on the fly. But yeah, thanks for everyone checking out what Bulletstorm, which I just dropped last week as well, and great game, love doing that. And yes, it's thinking about doing the Duke Nukem gameplay probably a bit later on in the year. But yeah, thanks everyone for checking that out. Alan, where can people find you?
You can find me on the X or the Twitter. That's where I'm just signing in now, actually. Yes, I'm on there as Alan Ross TBK. You can find me on there. I'm also back on Twitch with a new name. I dropped the Roscoe Bosco 84. I thought it was a new year. I wanted to try, and I'm going to go back to basics. So I'm actually Alan Ross 84. TBK on Twitch, and I actually did go back and I've uploaded a few streams, which was fun. Keep your eye out for more, guys, because your boy, again, as you saw in my Twitch streams, 2K24 WWE, great effing game. Really lots of fun. And also thank you for people who've jumped in a few times and watch me play Helldiver 2. There's nothing better than a bit of liberty, and hope people are enjoying those ridiculous. That game is so much fun, but it's so ridiculous. I can talk about it all the time. We're going to talk more into it later, but it is a fun game. But yes, that's where you can find me on my socials. Also, too, I'm also on YouTube as well. That's I think still under the that name of Alan Ross 84 TBK. And I upload some gameplay on Fortnite. I've been doing a lot of that lately. I've been finding small little snippets from the PS5 share, and I upload them, and they're good for a bit of laugh.
Very nice. And how are you going with the season or the chapter? You're nearly at the end. We're like literally, because this is a pre-recorded episode, so if you're listening to it right now, it's the 17th for you. We're actually taping this a week earlier. So, you know, do you think you'll make it? I think I know you were like 140s, I think, towards the end of this chapter.
I don't really mind where I am. I've been playing Fortnite for day dot back in 2017. So, I collected all the skins from the most recent season. What is happening next? I don't know. I'm interested in what could be happening next. But yeah, skins are skins. I don't really mind what I get. Just having a good time. That's what it's all about.
Oh, nice. And talking about having a good time, I've been doing a lot on my Xbox One, and I would say I've never seen someone so excited, and I'm talking about this guy here, where Alan popped over to my house a few weeks ago, and I said, hey, Al, do you want to play Fortnite on my file and help me get some battle stars? And this guy was like a kid in a candy store, just blowing people up and getting explosions and getting the wins, and I think he earned me like almost 80 battle stars. Like, he leveled me up almost 15 times, and I like cleared like 7 pages or something like that of the battle pass. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I'm not going to get there, like, to finish it before the end of that weekend, because I think it actually the servers go down on Friday. But yes, you gave me a huge chunk, which actually helped me get some V-Bucks and just, purchase some emotes, and then figuring out a way that I can actually gift them, which was my son's very happy that we figured out how gifting works. Where I can earn the V-Bucks on my account, buy an emote or buy a character, and simply gift it to him. But I've enjoyed it. It was a good season. I did see that they're teasing this whole Greek mythology. Seems like it's coming to it with Zeus and Ares and all these different characters. And mm-hmm. I think once they had that side, I think it was Ruined Reels. I said to my son a few weeks ago, I said, I reckon we're going to get some Greek mythology. And he goes, I don't even know what that is. And I'm like, sit down, son. Let's have a bit of a talk. I said, I love that. I love that time.
Because yes.
I spent yes. hours and hours of Assassin's Creed Odyssey many years ago, which is focused on that time. And that game, you could just lose real time in. Like, there's so much alive in that map that you could just get on a boat and, like, literally crisscross the entire map. And that game has actually been criticized by people for having too much things, like too much content. Like, it didn't...
What?
Yeah, people were criticizing that there's too many missions, there's too many side quests, there's too many things to do. Like, if you just focus on the linear story, you could get it done. But every day, they were putting new little side quests in that you can earn currency to buy level, to get level ups or buy epic gear and stuff like that. So I heard people were flacking the game because there was too much stuff, which I'm like, come on, people. There's never too much in a game.
There is never too... we're living in a day and age where, you know, people are looking at that and going, oh, I can't do that. That's too difficult. It's a fucking game, people. Enjoy it. I know, I sound like the old man on the porch just yelling at, you know, yelling at clouds, but for F's sake, it's a game.
Mm.
Enjoy it. Have some content. Get some extra content. I don't get people sometimes. People are, yeah.
Well,
it's just young generation.
Let's use the time we've got now. Which game would you like to talk yes. about first? Helldivers or WWE?
Oh, yeah. I'll go with 2K20. For WWE. Lots of fun in this one too. They've updated the roster quite a bit, which is kind of cool. Music is different, which is kind of fun. Straight off the bat, after I downloaded it, I sat down with my son and I go, all right, boy, what are we playing? He goes, I want to watch Cody Rhodes and Santo Escobar in a casket match. I'm like, let's do it, boy. So we sat back and watched, and the gameplay to it is quite fun.
Yeah.
Cody ended up, of course, getting the win, but it's that sort of, when I play those types of games, when I get a moment, it's going to be kind of fun to watch and play, especially when it comes to mashing the buttons when you're trying to push someone into the casket. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The showcase stuff, there's so much to do. One thing in particular that anytime they mention a certain couple of people who have been blackballed from WWE recently, their faces are quickly blurred.
Yes, I saw that in our chat group. I saw one of our mates posted, yes, that there's a certain McMahon who is just completely blurred. Yes.
Yeah, we don't talk about Bruno. So basically, we don't talk about Vinnie Mac. And yeah, they definitely have made it abundantly clear that that man's gone.
Mm.
That man is no longer, part of the WWE anymore.
So what about people like a Brock Lesnar then? Like, does he have a showcase thing? I think I saw footage at the Taker match and stuff's in there. From WrestleMania 30, but I probably don't think he's gone through the same route as what Vince has gone through. Yeah,
he's not even a playable character.
Oh wow, okay.
They got Braun Strowman in the game, but no Brock Lesnar.
Really?
No, none of that. No, he's gone.
Okay.
CM Punk's not in the game yet, but he'd be
Did they not put CM Punk in there? Is that serious?
Not yet.
So they want that DLC money, do they? Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. They want to cough all that money out.
I guarantee.
Know. There'll probably be a CM.
I was going to say, I think we're both thinking the same thing. I think we'll get a CM Punk pack and you'll get ECW CM Punk, New Nexus CM Punk,
shaved
beard, Straight Edge Society version. Yeah.
Straight Edge Society.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That's what we'll, Then we'll go over to Helldivers now. Then that is a fun game. It's a small little game that has just exploded. And it does take the Mickey out of all those patriotic, you know, people out there, fight for liberty and take on the bugs. Mm. And then you go, what did the bugs ever do to people? That are we just going onto their planet, blowing them away, and then maybe, you know, this is their planet and we're maybe invading them, and it's like, excuse me, what did you just say? Pow, you know, don't talk against liberty, and the free world and the free earth. It reminds me of way back in the day of a 2-hour fantastic film. And I'm talking about Starship Troopers. Mm. God damn, that movie is fantastic. It's Star Wars with boobies. Star Wars with nudity. Yeah. Full frontal nudity too. I'm trying to think if there was some full... I remember there was boobs a lot. And there was a shower scene. They were like, everyone was sharing the showers together. Rico and his team.
Yeah.
And there was a sex scene as well too. But the violence in that movie was just full on too. And some of the bugs and the creatures in this game resembles some of the creatures that are actually in that movie.
Yeah.
And it's got that patriotism as well too. One thing about this game though is don't go in it by yourself.
Mm.
Find some people that know how to play the game. And then play with them. It's very much like when you're playing Fortnite and you join up with some people, you join up with some very sweaty people, and you'll get that, you know, victory royale, where this game is very much like you team up with a person who's a level 361 and you're a level 10.
Hmm.
And you can clearly tell this person has not jumped off the server and is constantly playing all the time. And then they will help you. You will get that win. You would just demolish everything in your way, and you just need to just do one little mission, and you just watch your XP just boom expand. But a lot of fun that game. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, there's a really good Aussie streamer called Zinko, and he does a lot of Fortnite. And I haven't been on Twitch in a while because, again, I've been doing lots of our gaming content, you know, exclusively on YouTube. So I thought I'll jump on Twitch, see who's live, and Zinko was actually doing Helldivers last night. And I thought, okay, I actually have not seen this game or even heard of the first or second one. I'll just jump into we stream. My first thought, exactly as you just said it, I'm like, is this Starship Troopers? I'm like, wait a minute, they look like the insects. They look like the bugs from this. And I wrote that in the chat, and he goes, yeah, Tom, how much do they look like it? And then I'm watching him play, and I'm like, okay, yep, he's got a team of people. And the next thing you know, they start laughing because one of the characters accidentally turned his flamethrower on the team and killed like four or five members of the team. And they're like, damn it. So they all had to be reset, and then they rocket down from the sky. But he's like, sorry. And they're all just laughing about this accidentally there with the flamethrower, just eliminating everybody. But it looks good. And I was just Googling as you were talking, like, I wonder what the first one was and what it actually came out on. Because again, I've never actually heard of this game. Maybe it was a PC exclusive or maybe an Xbox exclusive.
Mm-hmm. I never played the first one.
Mm.
I just saw it and I saw the price for it. And I'm like, I'm going to gobble that up. I'm going to put some, I'm going to put that down. I'm going to play it. And I am loving it. And then there's a lot of other YouTubers out there who have played it and just go, God damn, this is fun.
Yeah.
This is just having a bit of, you know, it's, yeah, you land the, it's the music too. Again, I think I've spoken about with many people, and especially about shows, about on our shows and our podcasts, that music is a huge thing for me. I love listening to music. And this type of patriotic, crazy shit of you just hell diving, you just get a boom. I have to send you a sound clip to it and just say how you feel about it, because it is just one little thing of you just landing with everybody else and the music that plays. It's the same song over and over. Every time you do a hell dive and you go down to, you know, whatever you're landing on or whatever planet you're landing on, the same music, but goddamn, you're ready to kick some bug ass because it is ready. It's go time, baby.
And you come down in a pod, isn't it, or something like that? Like some little space. That's what I mean. Yeah, you drop down from a pod. Yeah, it looks good. Looks very good because I've just researched here. So it says the original game was a top-down shooter, and it came out on PS3, PS4, and Vita in 2015. So that's a pretty older dated game then. So
that is,
yeah,
yeah. I think they again Sony owns this. And the fun thing too is that the lore of it now is that you can actually. I think the idea is that. You'll be able to play with it's what's it called? Cross promotion with other games, other consoles,
cross play.
You can actually do that with Xbox people now. So again, there's a lot of fun of these, like, oh, you know, who are we going to be teaming up with today? And then next minute they show the Halo crew, and these are the people that used to play Halo back in the day, and now they're playing Helldiver 2. You're like, okay, we are in good hands. And then you see there's a TikTok I found that was so good. And then they say, okay, who are we teaming up with now? And it's the Battlefront 1 and 2 Star Wars crew. And it was okay, goddamn. That was a fun one to watch too. And it's just going back and having a bit of a laugh that, you know, we can do a bit of this cross play with other games out there and just get that win.
Well, I just discovered too, like, again, a lot of my Fortnite gameplay has been zero build solos. I don't play duos. And I played with my son the other day. Like, he sat next to me on the big screen TV on the PS5, and I was on the Xbox. And he goes, hey, Dad, can we do a duo game? And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not editing at the moment. Happy to do it. And I didn't know that you actually share the rewards, though. Like, I didn't know that there's quests that you guys can do where you both... Like, if I assist him, I get XP. If he assists me, he gets XP. And I'm like, hold on, I've waited. I should have been doing this a while ago because you can get through those dailies a lot faster. You share the wins.
Oh, hell of a lot faster.
You earn the XP faster, where when you're in zero, it's just up to you to do those snapshots, to do those milestones, to do the weeklies, to do the dailies.
That's right.
Where you jump into a duos, or what, a three-man team or a squad, you can bang them out like that. So I'm thinking of, this new season coming in, definitely doing a lot more with my son around the duos. And yeah, it's good actually having separate accounts because that way you can share, you can gift and stuff like that. But I've heard good things about Helldivers and I'm definitely keen to check it out because I have been focusing a lot on FPS shooters recently.
Yep.
And I do kind of want to go back into some more third person gameplay. So yeah, there might be some things I might be dropping, but it does remind me of a game that is third person called Outriders that came out a few years ago. And that's more shooter, but you have powers as well. Like you have freeze powers and flame powers and lightning powers and stuff like that. And you can mix and match what you want. But Outriders is probably a game I most likely will do, but it is an online only game where you actually, to play the campaign, you must be online. But you can also share as well. Like you can do a co-op, you can have a team come with you, but the campaign's meant to be really good. But that's good that you're checking that game out. I've definitely heard good things.
Lots of fun. Lots of fun. Just remove your brain, place it down, and have fun. That's what it's all about. That's what all gaming is meant to be all about, not to be taken too serious. Where at one time, your boy right here took gaming way too fucking serious. And I can't do it. Now I'm an old man. I'm like, I don't care no more. I do not care.
Well, talking about some other great things, did you check out AEW Revolution?
No.
Did you see anything about it?
One thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in our chat with the boys, and I just wrote, Jesus Christ, why? And I think if people know, you probably know.
Can I just tell them what I think it is? Can I tell you what I think it is?
Like, yeah, sure.
Are you talking about the 12-man tag where everybody copied Jeff Jarrett when they did the strut and then they all followed him outside? Is that what you're talking about or?
Didn't even know that was on the card. What? No. What do you mean? So Jarrett's team, they all do the A&R great.
Yeah, so he was in the ring, and he had outside the ring was his team, which included like Willie Mack, Private Party, and they all looked at him in the ring and copied him. So they were all outside the ring, all doing the strut in unison with Jarrett in the middle of the ring. So, yeah.
Wrestling's for everyone. Rightio.
Well, do you want to tell me what you're talking about? No, I think I have an idea. So,
sugar glass spot from a fucking ladder, and a young man who's determined to kill himself, legit, and nearly did.
Yeah,
Darby Allin. I don't know why, son.
And I feel like I watched that show live as it happened, and I'm thinking, you know, did that need to be in it? Like, to tell the end of Sting's story, did we need that part? And I know Darby was known for coming out in press conferences and lead-ups and, you know, podcasts talking that he said, I'm willing to die in this match. I'm willing to die to make sure Sting gets this win. And it's like, wow, crazy spot, but was it needed? And I felt for the fans in the front row, and there's who nearly actually got hit by the glass. And you go and watch the footage and you see fans for like literally covering up and then like touching their arms, touching their sleeves. Like, am I cut, darling? Or like holding their arms up to their friends and family saying, am I cut? Or no, nah, I'm all good. That's all good. No worries.
Yeah. Young man has a death wish, and that's kind of disturbing, because, you know, one day he's going to do something in the ring or outside the ring, and you know, there's going to be we're living in a time now where wrestling, again, you still brought your kids to wrestling. And there's going to be a kid there. There's going to be a group of children there one day. And Darby, because again, he is, like he said, he's part dead. There's one side of him that's no longer living, because it passed away when he was in that accident with his uncle. And now he is just chasing that, quite a correct dragon of trying to one off. He's trying to off himself. So again, that's not about the wrestling. This is not about that sort of aspect of, you know, it's just, yes, it's entertainment, but if you're willing to kill yourself, you know, you need to be wary of, there are children around the ring. There are, and again, I don't want to take this too serious, but I'm just saying out there as a parent, and if you're going to take your child to an AEW show or even type of wrestling, you need to be wary of what they could be seeing in front of them right there. And when a young man climbs a ladder and then jumps onto sugar glass, okay, understandable. It shatters. The gash on his back was hideous. But if he's trying to chase that dragon and trying to off himself, people need to be wary of this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, it's crazy. I think, like, there's lots of positives, lots of negative people saying, oh, you know, awesome work. He's like a modern day, you know, Mick Foley was doing these spots, and, you know, WCW with Vader. And then he's doing the crazy stuff with Terry Funk, you know, over there in Japan, and, you know, in the IWA. And then he's doing the Hell in the Cell spot. But again, I think it's different. I feel that there's the crowd's getting younger, I feel, at wrestling shows now. And I reckon kids could easily be influenced by that. Hey, we could possibly do what Darby did. Because I know when we were younger, we were recreating the Hardy Boy stuff. Like, we were up there with ladders out the back, jumping off stuff. We never involved glass. That wasn't even an option. And now it seems to be AEW's featuring glass quite a lot in many different things they do. Like, overall, I enjoyed parts of the show. Things I didn't like the scramble match, I think we could have done without. Ospreay and Takeshita did a fantastic matchup, and I would watch that on repeat, and I would love to even do that next year as one of our March shows. I really enjoyed that match. But I did hear flack about it because there was a few people saying that there's a lot of no selling in that match, where, like, you know, Will takes a massive move but then doesn't sell it, gets up and he does a power move. You know, Fight Forever, like, people are getting into that. So it's like, great, it's a great match. But when there's no selling sometimes, it kind of diminishes the person's ability. So,
well, I think Kadeshka and Ospreay, they're just going back to their New Japan roots.
Yeah.
Like, that's what, you know, I would imagine. I would like to go back and watch that match legit. I'm looking at the card right now, and nothing screams to me except that match right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, 22 minutes of just two old boys beating the piss out of each other. Sounds fantastic. Sounds like fun. But again, if you go back and watch some of the Japanese shows in wrestling, there is a lot of the non-selling, but until, you know, there's one strike and they just go down like a ton of bricks. But, all right, so do we want to do the card? You can give me the card, you know, and just give me your opinion on what you thought. Yeah,
look, I won't summarize the whole thing because there's other great podcasts, guys, that you can go and check out. You know, people like Smacking It Raw and stuff like that go into detail. Like, Matt's not the biggest fan of, you know, AEW, but they still on the show, you know, Katie and Vince and Will when he jumps on, or Justin when he comes in from Get Choi, will delve deeper into those types of things. But I just feel like that the Will and Katesta match shone out of everything that was on the card. You know, Eddie Kingston is doing some great storytelling there with Daniel Bryan.
That Eddie Kingston, Bryan Danielson match, I wouldn't mind checking that one out as well too. But again, we got Claudio and Moxley were on there. They were against FTR.
That was the longest match on the card, I think, too, that one. Or one of the longest matches, yeah.
21:50.
The storytelling of Swerve and Hangman's good, if you know the story of that. They tried to plant this seed that in the end of the match, or going into the match, Paige's biggest motivation is that he doesn't want Swerve to win the title. Someone like Swerve doesn't deserve it, based on all the stuff that Swerve has been doing with Hangman's family in the past. At the end of that matchup, Samoa Joe puts Hangman in the Kikita clutch and is choking him out. And Swerve's trying to get in there to stop it. And as Hangman's being choked out, he looks at Swerve and then taps out. As in, I've tapped out now, so you can't win. So I'm tapping. I don't mind taking the loss, but I'm tapping out because now the match is over and your title opportunity's gone now. And that's kind of what they're planting it, is that I don't care about taking the W as long as you don't win. So it's almost like they're doing a double turn now. So they're turning Swerve the face and Hangman the heel.
Wow. That's a dog act, but like, you can understand where they're coming from Adam Page being, you know, you want to turn, the best time to turn a face heel is when they're red hot. And then if Page is doing that type of shit, perfect timing right there.
That was great. Like, I enjoyed that matchup. I think the biggest focus is just seeing Sting, you know, seeing Sting wrestle his last match. He had both his kids actually come out and provide a pretty cool moment of what one was. One was Surfer Sting, and they both even had a few spots, you know, delivering some Stinger splashes to Nicholas and Matt Jackson. And I will still say to this day, the Young Bucks are one of my favorite current tag teams in wrestling. And they know they are the shit, and they play on that. They are shit stirrers. They work everybody up all on purpose. And I think they gave Sting, you know, a great closing matchup. And to know from Sting in interviews beforehand saying, I wanted that matchup. Like, I asked for the Young Bucks tag team matchup.
Okay.
I didn't want a John Moxley matchup. I didn't want a Daniel Bryan, Kenny Omega match. Like, I wanted Darby and I to do the Young Bucks match. And if you really think too, from the Young Bucks side, when they first started up AEW, was to make tag team wrestling the main event, you know, to give it its chance to be a main event of a pay-per-view. And they did. And they did it. And the match had some crazy spots, as we said, glass, chairs, tables. In the end, Sting gets the win. And you think he leaves AEW with a completely undefeated record. I think he's 18-0 in AEW. I think he's like 29 wins as a tag team, you know, with Darby, and also retires as a tag team champion, and they have relinquished the belts, but it's the where to from here.
Okay.
So I don't know if Sting's going to actually stay on with the company, do something backstage. He has said he doesn't want to be a manager. He doesn't want to manage someone. And that's not a shot at Jake the Snake. He just doesn't think his skills are that. He would rather just do something else.
Sting's no, Sting is not a, I mean, he was not much, he's not much of a talker. I mean, when he used to cut a promo, it was beautiful, but if he's going to be a mouthpiece, you don't really see Steve Borden, the, you know, the Stinger, as a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Where I see Jake the Snake now is he is a mouthpiece for for Lance Archer. Yeah.
But look, overall good. I think there is some matches that we could do next year. Like we could either do the Will versus, you know, Katesha match, or we could do the Bryan versus Kingston, because they were both good matches on the card. They also did announce a new pay-per-view that's coming out now. We're actually probably going to start getting monthly AEW shows. So to go from what was the big four, Revolution, All In, Full Gear, Double or Nothing, we're now getting more shows. Like World's End happened in December. We're actually getting AEW Dynasty. Will be happening on the 21st of April this year. So it'll be after WrestleMania. But Dynasty is really, people, I think, a bit of a play on MJF, because he used to be in a team in Major League Wrestling called the Dynasty. MJF has been gone for quite a while now. Adam Cole's red hot with his faction, the Undisputed Kingdom. You know, they actually took MJF out. Is this a way to bring him back? Yep. Cole's looking like he's a bit healthier now. So will we eventually get an MJF versus Cole matchup? Dynasty, it's still, what, 8 weeks away? So who knows what will happen there? But it does look like we're going to start getting some more pay-per-views coming in, which I don't think is a bad thing, because it gives a chance for more wrestlers to get on the show. I just think they need to trim the belts, though. That's my biggest thing, is they've got too many belts. And I sometimes forget that, oh, that's right, yeah, there's that championship. I had no idea that belt was even there. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I didn't even know that even existed.
Okay, this should be interesting. I don't know if you saw my face when you told me they were doing another pay-per-view. I thought they were going to, you know, they've sort of gone down that road now of where WWE are.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a pay-per-view every month, or there's two, you know, you need to watch it. Watch it now. If you don't watch it, you'll miss it. But then, you know, blah, blah, blah. Come on, join now. Let's do it. All right. Again, they're making money. Mm-hmm. They can do what they can. Just, like you said, there's a lot of titles.
There's just too many. Too many things. I honestly think they should just split the company in half. I think people will say, oh no, you're looking like Raw and SmackDown, but they almost need to, like, make shows exclusive to certain talents and championship belts. That way everyone gets a feature on a brand, except like a once-off belt defense. If you have designated shows with designated champions on it, then more talent can be featured, because you've got Collision, you've got Rampage, you've got Dynamite. You got 0 hour when they do their pay-per-views. I don't watch the shows regularly too. Like it just does not fit with my schedule around different times. But, you know, I think we'll just continue to grow. I think Tony Khan keeps telling you every single month that this was the greatest show of all time that they're running. And it always makes me think, because you never saw Vinnie Mac saying that. Like, he never said every show was the best show. And I always think Tony's always trying to sell you on AEW. It's the best show. I think, you know what? I think this was the best, not only the best Revolution, I think it's the best show of the year. And I also think it's the best show we've ever done. The amount of times he says that in press conferences, it almost doesn't feel as genuine as it did in the beginning. It just feels like you've got many pies. You've got your football, you've got your soccer, and you've got your wrestling. And you're just juggling all these pieces. And maybe put someone else in front of the camera that doesn't need to always be talking, or don't even be at the press conferences. Let the talent have it. You know, do what Dana White does. Comes in for 10 minutes and then buggers off. So,
He wants to be center. He needs to be centered, Tom. It's his baby. You know, daddy gave me all this money so I can play with my friends. And now I get to be that guy. Now I get to be like, you know, the Crockett's back in the day. I get to be Vince, you know. I want to be him. So he loves that center of attention. And you're not going to take it off him. And that's why he's an online meme.
And he would have to know all the publicity he gets. Yeah.
he loves that too. I bet you he gets on there. And again, he gets on there sometimes on X and then starts shit up with other people. Again, anytime that he and Bischoff are going off at each other, I just grab the popcorn and just go go to town, just watch and laugh. It's like so fucking funny.
I was under the impression a few months ago that I thought it was all well worked by him. Like he's just playing everybody. And then I'm like, he's actually not playing everyone. He's genuinely, this is who he is. And this is how he conducts different things. Like I thought it was him playing a character, like a Herb Abrams, like trying to be different than the mold. But I'm like, no, this is who he actually is. This is how he cuts promos.
This is him.
This is him. Yeah.
Yeah. This is T-Khan. This is who he is. He's a little boy with toys. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Climb up ladder. Whee! Psh! I broke it. I'll buy a new one.
Yeah. Just go to New Japan and just... Can I have you 10 guys? Yep. And then CMLL, you guys jump in as well. TNA, you want to work with us? Yeah. We'll give you no promotion, though, but just come with us for a little bit. We'll make your champions lose. So, cheers.
Here's my daddy's money.
Yeah. Well, I think it's time to not only do a promo, but also maybe chat about what our companion will be, guys. This is Wrestling Companion. I think it's 106. We've done quite a lot of companions for this season. But before we even announce what that will be, we want to give a shout out to not one, but two Grit Wrestling podcasts. Check these guys out.
What's up, everybody? I am the hardest part of the ring, the host of the Apron Bump podcast. And I know what you're thinking. Ugh, another wrestling podcast. How many times can I listen to fans beat up on WWE and AEW? Tell me who needs a push, who doesn't need a push, who brings Vince's coffee these days. Enough! I'm just as sick of it as you are, and that's why I created the Apron Bump. The Apron Bump is about the journey. It's about nostalgia. It's about discovering new forms of wrestling to really tickle your pickle as a wrestling fan. It's about making wrestling fun again. The podcast brings you reviews of wrestling events all over the world, tying together over 6 different promotions spanning 4 different decades. And everything is chronologically in a timeline to really allow myself and all you listeners to live through these eras while having a good time doing it. Whether it's WWF, WWE, WCW, ECW. We even cover the golden eras of Ring of Honor, Progress, TNA, and more promotions in the future as well. New episodes every Wednesday, or as some may say, bump day, huh? Yeah? Go to apronbump.com or go to your favorite podcast platform or YouTube and subscribe today for the most diverse, fan-friendly wrestling podcast in the world. I'm Hard.
What's up, everybody? I am the patron saint of podcasting, the Warden Matt Ritter, the host of the number one wrestling podcast on Pornhub. Yes, you heard that right. And I'm here to tell you about the number one wrestling podcast on Pornhub, the Smackin' Raw podcast. Me and my co-host, Vince Delgado, and Miss Katie Kinsey-Bebe of the She Leads Showcase do a weekly recap where we cover Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Dynamite, and Rampage. We are on Pornhub, YouTube, and every audio platform you could think of, and we are spitting what we don't like and swallowing what we do every week. We've also got guests from some of your favorite podcasts, so if you want to have fun, take your pants off, put in your headphones, pull up to your favorite listening or viewing device, relax and just have a good time, catch up on the week in wrestling in our own unique way, come check us out. You guys can find me at Matt Ritter, that is at MattRidder, on Twitter only. There you will get Linktree/SmackinRaw. That'll get you all of the audio platforms as well as Pornhub. You guys can also check out Linktree/CreationWorld, and that will get you the YouTube, the merchandise, and the Pornhub, as well as other great podcasts from Creation World, which is the banner under which the SmackinRaw podcast exists. If you want to get everything in one shot, go to creationworld.com. There you'll find Super Flash Hero of Tomorrow if you're a fan of DC, CW superhero stuff. If you want to check out the Smackin' Raw podcast, if you want to check out our other show, Return to Wrestling, where me and my co-host Travis go back in time and he forces me to sit down and watch old WCW Nitros and pay-per-views, and I have to suffer through Hulk Hogan repeatedly. If that sounds like something that you think is fun, come check that out as well. We also have a YouTube-only show hosted by Vince called Spitter Swallow that you can find on our YouTube. We've got so much content for you. Dungeons After Dark as well. That episode 2 is coming. It is our most viewed episode on Pornhub. So if any of this sounds appealing to you, I can't wait to have you guys come follow us, listen to us, and interact with all of you. Like I said, take your pants off, pull up, get comfortable, and let's have a good time.
All right, guys, we are back, and it's time for our, what we do, our bread and butter, our watch-along. And I've decided to think, what could we do for March? There's been some great wrestling classics. We are on the road to WrestleMania. We've still got a few weeks to go, and we're going to save a special TBK WrestleMania special for WrestleMania time. Now, for this month, I thought we haven't done some TNA in quite some time. And TNA have produced some classic matchups. And I thought, okay, what did they used to do in the month of March? Did some Googling and thought, oh, Destination X. That was one of their shows they used to run. I remember there was a DDP versus Jeff Jarrett, you know, NWA Championship. I think that was the first Destination X in like 2004, 2005. And I came across 2007 and I thought, I actually own this show on DVD. And this was a show that I loved because not only was it some pretty good classic matchups, but we actually had a triple main event. And it was something you don't really see in a lot of pay-per-views at that time. It was usually like a great main event with a followed or a great co followed by a great main event. And this one actually had three matches, three main event matches. One match really interested me, and it was the first time meeting between Scott Steiner taking on Kurt Angle. So two very different talents, former WCW champion against a former WWE champion, wrestlers one-on-one, very different styles. I want to break through the card, and then I'm going to tell you the actual match that we're going to do. And while I'm getting it together, Alan, have you ever actually seen this show before?
Nope. I'm looking it up now of the actual Wikipedia. But yeah, you continue to sell it to me, please.
Well, the match we might be doing, guys, it's either the Latin American Exchange, which is Homicide and Hernandez, takes on Team 3D in a ghetto tag team brawl. Or we could do James Storm and Jack Lewin takes on Petey Williams and Gail Kim in a double bull rope tag team matchup. We could do Senshi versus Austin Starr. Austin Starr was actually Austin Aries with Bob Backlund in a crossface chicken wing match. We could also do the Voodoo Kin Mafia takes on the Heartbreakers, which was actually the Heartthrobs from the WWE. This is Antonio Thomas and Romeo Rizzoli with Christy Hemming.
Yeah.
We could do a best 2 out of 3 falls for the X Division Championship. The champion Chris Sabin takes on Jerry Lynn. And here we have, not only was I wrong, it wasn't a 3 main event, it was actually a 4 main event. Now, this matchup here is called Evelation X, Rhino versus AJ Styles. Alan, what do you think Evelation X is?
You have to climb up and try to grab an X from like a dividing type of thing with a ladder.
So you're thinking like X Division? Like an Ultimate X?
Ultimate X, yeah.
Yep. I'll give you that. It's similar, but it's Ultimate X meets a scaffold match.
Oh,
where the actual above the ring is a large X that you wrestle on top of, and the aim of the match is to throw your opponent off the X into the ring.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
Or we could do Kurt Angle versus Scott Steiner, which I said was a very tough, hard-hitting matchup. We could do the co-main, which was the first and only ever last rights match as Sting takes on Abyss. Or we could do the main event, which was Christian Cage defends the NWA Championship against Samoa Joe. So, looking at the card, the one that stands out for me is the crossface chicken wing. No, I'm not talking about that match. I'm talking about the last rights match, guys. Now, I was a fan of the Sting Abyss matchups that they had in TNA. They had a number of great matchups. This one, probably not as a big a fan as I used to be. this was a time when they were really trying to bend reality with pro wrestling. The storyline between Sting and Abyss involved attempted murder. It involved Sting breaking character and becoming Steve Borden throughout the feud. James Mitchell having secrets and control over Abyss and exploring that history. But the idea of a last rites matchup is almost like a reverse casket match. And I want to kind of leave it there because I want you to experience this match with me as we hit play. Same thing with you guys listening or also checking out on YouTube or also on your podcast. But before we do that, Ella, any questions or comments you have about this upcoming matchup?
Now, this match has been brought up a few times on the show way back in the day, and you've always said you've wanted me to check out this match, and I never have. And there was a thing there you would say to me, oh, if you check this match out, this is off mics, off cameras, everything like that. Al, did you check it out? I went, nope. And I think one time you even legit sent me a link to this actual match. I didn't watch it. And I think I might have been drunk. I'm drinking this stuff tonight, guys. I'm not drinking. So we're actually doing a TNA show with no booze. I'm looking at the actual card right now. Are you legit saying that this match right here goes for 9 minutes and 51 seconds?
Yes, I am.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I think this might be one of our shortest matches besides the, who was it? APA and the
Public Enemy. Yeah. The Sunday Night Heat Brawl tag team matchup. Yeah.
They beat the piss out of each other. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you've got Sting versus Abyss and the last rites from Destination X 2007 in front of you right now. And I'm going to press play in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes. Okay. So let's just watch it. We're seeing Mitchell getting his ass whooped, covered in blood.
Yep.
And we're quickly finding out that Abyss used to be in prison. We see Sting unmasked there with no face paint, cutting a promo with Abyss.
Oh, what did he do?
Now, I think this has been talked on Something to Wrestle With, where they don't call it a casket in this match. Any alternative names you think they would call it?
An incident? Or,
they call it the deathbed, is the name.
Straight up to it, okay. I'm going to put you in the deathbed.
You keep it up, you're going in the deathbed, all right?
Oh, wow. Whoa.
Some classic WCW there with a flame ball.
I never thought of Sting being in a casket because he doesn't come across as the Undertaker. I instantly think of the casket or the deathbed is...
It is very much like they're trying to make Taker, isn't it?
But it's... Oh, wow.
Yeah, that shot back there where you see Mitchell looking down at the Abyss inside the barbed wire.
Oh, wow, what the...
That was actually
Jesus
when...
Jesus Christ.
That's when Abyss actually won the NWA title by DQ. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Like, and even then, I think this is the first time you kind of saw Sting go crazy like this. Like, he would do it quite a lot in Impact and even in AEW, as we saw last weekend. But this is the first time he went this hardcore, getting blooded up, getting tacks, getting barbed wire. This was that time period.
That's full on. Full on, bruh.
But even that ending shot there with the eyes closed, it's very much The Undertaker.
in the last race match. TNA, dude.
Yes, I think from memory, there actually, I don't think there has been another one. I think there's an idea I have in my head where there might have been one, which was when Abyss was feuding with Judas Macias, which is another guy that Mitchell brought in. He was a Mexican wrestler where in all the video packages, he looked like a giant. And then when he actually debuted, he was actually probably the height of Two Abyss's chin. And it's like, wait, that's not the guy from the videos. That's a different person.
Wow.
Yeah. What's your views on Abyss? You've seen quite a few of his matches in the past.
It's Kane, Mankind, Vader, all sort of thrown into one. Yeah, I like him.
Mm.
What's the gentleman under the mask's name?
Chris Park.
Chris Park, that's right.
Or Parks, I think his last name is. I think he works for WWE as an agent for the company.
Yes. Because, I think it was not last year, but maybe the year before, he and AJ did a thing together.
Yeah, that's right. Backstage and stuff like that on SmackDown. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like a little tip to the cap to TNA.
Mm.
You know, for those wrestling nerds out there that were like, oh, these two, they know each other very well. But Parks is just like, no, I've never heard of Abyss. Who's this guy you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Straight into it.
You see Sting walking past the candles just then. You saw the candles around the ring?
Oh, so it's making it a bit gothic style,
it's like
is
a
it?
Candelabra. You know, they're like the three-prong candles. They've got them all around the ring there.
Is there really sort of a symbolism behind that?
Beauty and the Beast? I'm not sure.
Okay. Is there a talking cuckoo clock?
So what do you think the rules are, Al? How do you get the win?
Deathbed. You got to put them in the deathbed. Sorry. Basically, they lower the deathbed and you go in the deathbed and they raise you up. You go to heaven.
And then you get lowered back down so you can get out of the deathbed for the next match. For the next.
No, you stay in the deathbed, right? Okay. There's a styrofoam. Oh, no, that's got to be real. That's real Tombstone, isn't it?
Yeah, that's from Tombstones R Us there, so. Oh, shit. And that's the thing, guys. Like, when I was living at home with Alan, I used to rent these shows. Like, the TNA shows in Australia I would get on our Foxtel provider. Foxtel would do Main Event, and I would get these shows a lot. And Alan would come out and go, what are you watching? TNA, and he'll go, Just turn straight back in, go back to his
turn
room.
Turn around. Yep. Why is there a referee in the ring?
Just making sure that they're getting into the deathbed and when it's time. So, yeah.
Is that Earl Hebner?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, he can put that to his resume that he refereed the last rights matchup.
Yeah, it was Sting and Abyss. Oh, Scorpion Death Drop.
And it was funny, like, I was listening to Sting, actually, in the presser after Revolution on the weekend, and he actually said he didn't even think his TNA time was the best. He actually didn't talk about it that highly, which I was surprised about, because he spent
a lot
of years there.
Was he on drugs at this time?
Oh, no way. No,
oh, this
not
is
Sting,
where...
no.
No, I don't, because he was. Nah. Didn't he, like, what is that? What the?
Shit. And that just shattered, man.
I hit you with a candle.
I was going to say, what's the character? Isn't it called Lemia from, like, what is it? Beauty and the Beast? Lemia the Candle?
Lemia, yeah.
Do you know how I remembered that?
Yeah. Because that's why you wanted to name your son?
No.
Oh.
One of our previous Wonderful World we lived in was about the woman that married the chandelier, and she called it Lemia, based off the Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast story. Your face, Al.
Was
guys,
that
you should
a commercial?
See Alan's face.
That was a commercial.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
this
know how
pay-per-view.
I don't know how they would have done that commercial though. Yeah, good question. Oh, the smoke still. Look out.
Spooky.
Look at that.
There's a dude in the corner jumping up and down.
Oh, man.
It's not a mask, Don. It's just a... It's face paint. Rest in peace.
Now, listen to the fans. What are they chanting?
Fire Russo?
Yeah.
Wow.
How crazy is that, man?
Oh.
Shit, think of that. God, he bladed hard.
Was that from the Chandelier? Was that from the Lemire?
That's from the Chandelier. What do they call it? The Canvalava.
They're getting blood. Yeah, the Canvalava.
Were you about to say they're putting blood in the casket?
Yeah, they're doing the Heidenreich and Dickie Dory did the same.
The Alabama Doink. I actually listened to that show today when I was going for a drive around. I thought, what did we do last year in April? Oh, we did the casket match. We did part two of Heidenreich takes on Alabama Doink.
Do you like to self-harm yourself? Oh, my God. He took that. It's attached to his foot.
The sheeting. Help me.
Oh, good on you.
Look at Earl.
Earl's now got attached.
Look at Earl just put the lid back down.
Put it back in. Why is he in the ring? Get out.
Look how much it takes off the ring to the deathbed.
That's why they have it outside. What the fuck am I doing? I'm trying to find exact.
Oh, shit. Look out. He's got the headstone.
Fall and then shatter.
TNA. We are wrestling.
We are wrestling. Oh, it's stripping.
Shit.
Oh.
It's almost like a Halloween match, but it's not Halloween. Like, this is March. So.
January, February. Yeah, this is. Oh.
Yeah,
oh, Jesus.
This makes me laugh here because it's like. You can't win by the submission, though. It's more of a. You just. Like, you're going to injure him to make it harder to then lift him up to put him into the casket.
The crowd looks confused.
Yeah.
Very confused.
Well, there was no promotion leading up to it about what it will actually look like. Like, you saw those shots there of the deathbed.
Oh.
Jesus. But not going in, like, what was the rule? What's the rule set to it? Look at that color. Now, this is a cool spot.
Isn't that boring, champ?
Watch this cool spot here. Sting gets the bat. Batter up. Jesus.
Didn't even hit him.
Alan.
It didn't even hit him in the face. It hit him at the bottom. That's legit.
He didn't want to injure him. It's, you know, it's just mates working together, Al.
It's not real.
Yeah.
Or is it real?
Well, it even cracked.
Is that real
tombstone? It cracked like a... It didn't shatter like into like...
He didn't even hit him with it. Is this the end?
No. I think we've still got 4 minutes to go, Al. Come on. Look at Earl. Go, Earl.
Oh, get out of he doesn't need to be in there.
He really bladed bad. Look at that.
I think that might have been legit.
Yeah. Move, Earl.
Oh, here we go.
But look, Earl's putting the lid back down. What if Abyss wanted to put him in it?
No. I understand where he's coming from because that's what the referees in WWE would do.
Choke slam and breaks the lid.
Hey, there's Sockman.
Oh, the dude in the crowd, yeah.
Spins his socks. Sockman.
Did you ever think that you would see Sting get chokeslammed on a deathbed?
Are they allowed to say casket or do they just keep calling it the deathbed?
I don't know. I think they just call it deathbed because they're trying to not make Donnie it look like The Undertaker.
Donnie West is saying casket a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that Abyss is a great actor here. He is like lifting that up going, this is super heavy.
Yeah, it makes me laugh. Do you remember that time when Scott Hall, Stone Cold?
Oh my God, this is disturbing to look at Sting like this.
Like when Cinder blocked Scott Hall to Austin and he like just hoisted and did it really quick. He didn't sell that it was heavy at all and just like just chucked it at him. You're like, you meant to sell that's heavy, so.
Yeah, but he also, Austin got hit in the left leg, then rocked up with a roll.
Yeah.
The next time, and he with a brace on his left leg, completely non-selled it. TNA. Oh,
what is he doing here, El? What's he making? A table or?
He's made a little tombstone table with two steel chairs. What is he doing here?
I think the only I've seen Sting bleed like that was against Vampiro when they had their matches. He did a couple of blood baths and got busted up open like that too in like the Great American Bash in 2000 and stuff like that. Oh, look out.
They got little lights on them. Yeah. Oh, look at that. They got little lights on them. Not real fire.
Your hair's burning, Sting.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, he's got him. Get it.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
Did it break?
I hope so.
It didn't break. No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, it did. Sorry. At the top of it.
I'll have to send you after this, Al, Jeff Jarrett being interviewed by Conrad about this show and about this matchup. He's actually been asked a few questions.
I'm legit going to look this up. Yeah. I am going to look this up. That thing is busted.
That's it. He got it. On your Sting. I can just tell by your face, Alan, it's a sting of disappointment.
Take it up. Sting, hop off, mate. Sting.
Sting still, Sting's on it. Sting, get off.
Steve, you need to get
Look
off.
Look at Earl telling you, Steve. He needs to...
Yeah, hop off. Hop off.
Yeah. Just snaps, breaks. Oh, shit, you all right? Here he goes. See, would think if this is how it was going to end the show, this probably should have been the main event. So then he goes up, and then the lights go out, and the show ends. Look at that blood, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, this should have been the main event, I reckon.
Whew. Oh, that was something.
Have you turned it off already?
No, I'm still watching it, man. I've still got...
Well, there we go. Any comments before we do some more shout-outs and take it home?
Well, that was something. Actually, that type of nonsense did take me back to the late days of WCW.
Mm.
It looks like Sting was having a lot more fun than he was in WWE. Because Sting's tangent in WWE was just poor.
Yeah.
It was just bad. Bad.
And I think in WWE, he only had two matches, I think. Maybe three in that whole time. And I think he only won one of them. It was a tag match with John Cena.
Yeah. I don't really remember. The only thing I remember... And we've covered this as well, too. It was at Mania where Sting took on Terminator Hunter.
Hmm.
And out came the D-Generation X. And then Sting teamed up with Hogan and some other NWA members.
Yeah.
Even though he was part of NW Red, not NWO White.
And he spent more years fighting against the NWO than fighting with them.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, while Alan's pondering why he chose to do a show with me tonight, I want to give a shout out to Two Great Wrestling Podcast and also a shout out to our affiliate partners. Check these guys out.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Main Event Marks is a retro pro wrestling podcast hosted by two lifelong wrestling marks and walking wrestling encyclopedias, Troy and Greg. Every Wednesday, we do a breakdown and review from a fan's perspective on some of wrestling's biggest and most forgotten shows ever, along with the industry news from that time period, taking you back in history to when that event took place. Main Event Marks is available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube. Follow us on social media at @MainEvent_Marks.
Well, guys, you know what time it is. Alan's left the room, so I have to give a bit of a readout of our sponsors and affiliates. So Rogue Energy is a premium energy and focus supplement designed to optimize your mental and physical performance. And if you check out rogueenergy.com and use our promo code 2702 at checkout, you will get 10% off products. Next one I want to talk about is Luxy. So Luxy can enhance your performance with their analog grips. These grips can be used on your PlayStation, your Xbox, and your Nintendo Switch. And if you visit Luxy.com and use the promo code BRO247, that's BRO247, you get a total of 15% off products. Up next is Triumph Chairs. So Triumph Chairs is a gaming chair company specializing in comfort and performance. Visit TriumphChairs.com and use the promo code BRO247 on checkout to get 10% off products. Up next is Clinch Gaming. Clinch Gaming manufactures custom professional gaming controllers that you can use on your Xbox and your PlayStation, and use our promo code BRO247 on checkout to get 5% off products. Up next is Player One Coffee. So Player One Coffee develop coffee recipes custom tailored to gamers, creative developers, and just about anyone who really enjoys a cup of coffee. And lucky last is victoriouseyewear.com. So Victorious Eyewear developed blue white blocking gaming glasses designed to eliminate digital eye strain and help you maintain comfortable and focused. Visiting victoriouseyewear.com and use the promo code BRO247 at checkout gets you 10% off. So again, shout out there to Victorious Eyewear, Player One Coffee, Clinch Gaming, Triumph Chairs, Luxy.com, and Rogue Energy.
All right, guys, we are back, and we are at the tail end of what has been a great episode. We had some wrestling talk, some gaming talk, and then we put on a Dave Meltzer five-star classic of the chicken wing tag match with a bull rope and an Elevation X. No. We did the last right there with Abyss and Sting, and Alan says to me, Tom, let's do it again. So we're going to hit play in, you know, kind of standard. We'll do it again. Yep.
No, thank you. I'd like to go to bed now. I've had enough for tonight. I'm done.
So as in go to bed on your deathbed or
No. I've had enough. I've had my fill of wrestling today. Thank you very much. That's 15 minutes I'm never going to get fucking back in my life, thanks to you.
That's why I chose it.
Put your camera on, please. I want to see you. I want to put your camera on now.
I think we'll lose internet, though.
I don't give a shit. I want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. I want to look you in the eyes when you play that.
Oh, hell.
You're a piece of shit. That's 15 fucking minutes I will never get back in my life.
Yeah.
You piece of dog shit.
Love heart. Love you, L. It's like an apple, but there you go. Love you.
Oh, man. That was some dog shit right there. Oh.
Well, where can people find you?
In hell.
On the deathbed.
In the deathbed. That's where I'm about to go put myself. Yes, you guys, you can find me down the bottom there, right down here. Alan Ross, 84, TBK. On all my platforms, on my Twitch, on my YouTube, on my X. That's where you can find me. On the TikTok as well. I need to change that too. TikTok is Alan Ross 84. No, it's Roscoe Bosco 84. I need to change it. I need to change that. I'm going to change that now.
Well, guys, in regards to our episodes, you can download all podcast episodes on Apple iTunes, Castro, Podbean, wherever you get podcasts, you will find
the Broadcast. It's a goddamn trap.
You can also check us out on Twitter at The Broadcast, T-H-E-B-R-O-K-A-S-T. And if you're a fan of all things gaming, I'm talking the classics of PS3, Xbox, PS4, PS5, Xbox 360. Check us out on YouTube for our no commentary gameplay and full gameplays on The Broadcast podcast and gaming. But as we say each and every episode, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all.
Good night.
I'm going to go lie on my deathbed.
Me too.
Yeah, guys, thanks for sticking around. Now we're going to go back and listen to a classic TBK moment.
Well, there's a UFO there. It's just a little dot.
We are out here watching.
There's a UFO there.
No, it's a drone, actually.
Is it? Oh, come on, man.
Yeah. What is that?
I just want to see one UFO. Come on.
Well, then get off. You smoke a lot of weed and you'll see a lot.
Oh, my tin hat, man. I was tin hat last night, too.
Oh,
I was watching Willy Wonka on the TV, on my phone, watching UFO stuff. And you know when you get yourself creeped out?
Nope.
Like, hear any noise and you go, oh, fuck, what's that noise?
They're nope.
Here. You know, they know that I'm looking.
No, I don't.
They're all here.
Because I don't.
Do you not believe that stuff? Or?
I don't have time for that, all right? I'm enjoying life too much to worry
about. I enjoy
about.
Life. I like, yeah, yeah. It's, just, mm-hmm. It's there.
I'm enjoying life not to worry about if there is another extraterrestrial being out there that could potentially come down and put something in my bottom. Okay, I don't want that, but if it happens, it happens. Okay, am I opposed to it? Yeah, maybe.
We're building relationships,
but I'm building a relationship. Okay, if I'm going to be that
an interstellar relationship,
yeah, and if these things are going to, you know, assault me sexually, yeah, that's an ID4 reference right there, guys, from 1997.